can be seated. Can we thank our band and our team for just all that they've done for us today and just the past several weeks? And you guys are dismissed, so thank you guys so very, very much. Well, we would love to be able to hear from you if maybe the Lord has just taught you something, and that's something that you would like to maybe share with your church family, maybe just a one-minute testimony or a two-minute testimony of something that maybe you were reminded of the past several weeks, or something that God has shown you, taught you. And again, we're all family in this place, so don't be embarrassed about that. We would love to hear from you. So anybody want to maybe jump up here and just say a few words about something? Anybody at all? And please don't rush the microphone either. You can take your time if you'd like to do that. So anybody at all? You can come up here, Miss Kathy, so we can see you if you don't mind. We're not touching that microphone, so. All right, timer starts now, okay? Yeah. Just kidding. Go for it.
You know, we get busy. I got really busy before this all happened, and there were things that I neglected terribly in my house. I mean, you should see it. I mean, considering we have a house that was a gift shop, you could imagine there's a lot of storage. So we moved in there, shoved stuff in these closets. One closet is so big, it's like a room, so we could shove a whole lot of stuff in there. So we decided we are going to get organized with our life. And so we took all this time. It took 4.5 days to clean out one of our closets. And we had to take stuff out and say, what do we want to do with this? My hubby had boxes there from his job years ago that he never went into. So anyway, and that, and then the yard work. We have done everything kind of like quickly, because you know what? We love to serve the Lord and we love to do other things. So our house has kind of fallen apart over the last years. So sometimes the Lord has to stop us and say, get your life in order at home. So we did that. So now we're ready to go because there's nothing left to organize. I can't think of a thing.
Awesome. Thank you, Miss Kathy. Anybody else that would just like to maybe share something that God has taught you or shown you these past several weeks? We're going to keep going until we have at least 5, so we can sit here all day. Thank you, Austin.
For the last 2 months, 2.5 months, 3 months, whatever it has been, middle of March, I have been from one end to the other, right out in the middle of it, and it's part of my job as a truck driver. But the thing that I've learned most is there's so many levels of chaos out there, but not many people know Jesus. For me, it was such a calming situation to know that he had my back. And I've had multiple conversations with so many people out there, and it's just unreal. Most of you know that I have an absolute heart for missions, and I learned in the last 2 months that my life is a mission.
Absolutely.
And yours should be too. And yeah. I hope and pray that all of us take the time to realize that we are what we need to be when we need to be, because you may think that you don't have the words to say, but in that situation, God will put them in your mouth.
Absolutely.
So, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, buddy. Anybody else want to share maybe something that God has taught you or reminded you of or shown you these past few weeks? Miss Jean?
A lot of you probably know that we moved from Houston and came to Grove. Perfect timing. When we were in Houston, we lived through Harvey, which was pretty disastrous. Now we're in Grove and we're in a pandemic. But what I have seen is how God works. In the worst of circumstances, he brings the best out in people. I have seen people gather food and take it to homes they know right now have nothing. A lot of our students are faced with that. Their food has been our school. Mm-hmm. What I have seen is the goodness in people. And one of the things that I've had the privilege is one of my neighbors and I have walked, social distance walked, but we have prayed together over our nation. We've prayed over situations that have arisen, and we can do that and still not be right on top of each other.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's
wonderful. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ms. Jan. Absolutely. Thank you. Anybody else? A few more, maybe? Thank you.
This is really out of my comfort zone, so if I can stand up here, I know that someone else can too, who has something to say and wants to get it out. But I have a family, and this was a time that we're from Norman, Oklahoma, but we're so grateful for our community up here. We're so grateful for our church family up here. But this was a time where God said, just stop.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop running around. Just stop taking your kids to all these places. Just stop and be in me. Just be still. Like the sign says out front, just be still. And when this happened, I started a Bible study with some friends of mine, and it was the Joseph's journey. And Joseph was so, like, God was so faithful through Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
And he is in control of all things, and he is so faithful through all of this. So whether you've lost a job or loved ones, God is so faithful, and he's never going to stop being faithful.
Absolutely.
So just stop and be with your families and make him the center again.
Absolutely. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you. Awesome. Anybody else want to share? Miss Sandy? And by the way, I love having kids in here. We're going to have kids in here the next few weeks, so you ain't bothering me. So I got three of those guys at home, so I don't really hear it much. So
I'm a woman of many words, so I tried to make it short. many of you would agree, I know. But I just want to share some things that happened during this time with me. I had to have a back fusion surgery, as Brother Bill did, on February 2nd. And, you know, we had prayed and prayed about this, whether this was God's will or not, and it seemed to be. And we followed accordingly, as we have many times in our life. So I didn't understand why the first surgery failed. So I had to have a second surgery instead, and that was on March 27th. So during this time, I was in much pain and waiting for that surgery. And so all of that going together, you know how you do, you get further down the road, you look back, and you can see clearly where things happened, and realize that, you know, God is in control of these things. Whatever we have to go through sometimes to meet those places that God has for us to learn. Or one thing in this was my family had to come together to make decisions, to try to make agreements, which is hard sometimes, concerning my care and concerning me. I can see this, how God moved in that, and I think there'll be many other things that I'll see ahead with that. I had the second surgery, and I'm still wondering, you know, why am I having to go through this? And during this time, Richard had to stay by himself, and he couldn't come in to see me, you know, because of all the new world we're living in.
Mm-hmm.
That was hard for him. God sent a couple of little angel girls there, and they figured out he could come to my back window and see me, see my room, see where I was, kind of a connecting thing. And I just felt blessed that they did that. It helped him. It helped our connection. As I went on, usually you're in there longer. I was, of course, in the nursing home. Usually you're in there longer. I was for rehab. But I had the idea, and I feel like God helped me with that, that if I went ahead and went home, Richard and I could both go to the outpatient rehab. Well, I was out 2 weeks when that same nursing home had 68 people that tested positive for the virus. So God, you know, he had his hand on me. Mm-hmm. He moved me mm-hmm. along through all of that. Wow. And I do see God moving. I think we'll see things that have changed because of all of this. Mm-hmm. I'm still recovering. But I know God, with this too, is in control. I'm so thankful that we know the Lord, that we can lean upon him. And when other people, you know, I just don't understand how they don't see this for their lives. But I just want to thank the Lord for mm-hmm. what he's done during this time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Miss Sandy. Awesome. We have time for one more if anybody else wants to share. So come on, buddy.
Hi. So through all this, I've learned that I really need this place. I need all of you. I need Amen. All of this. Yep. Arguably, worldly stuff started getting a lot easier, not going to church. And it at first seemed great, but then little things started seeping in. And I'm realizing that it was God saying, you need to get back into the Word, mm-hmm. one way or the other. Yeah. I mean, church, yes. But I didn't have that, obviously. We didn't have that. So even little small things like taking a step, my hips started hurting, my knees starting to hurting, and I just realized, hey, I need to ask God to help me through this step at a time.
Yeah.
I knew I needed it before, but I really need this place.
Absolutely.
And I'm just so blessed that we're able to be here right now.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Glad I'm here. I'm glad.
Yes. Me too. Absolutely. Thank you so much, buddy. And I'll end on that one because I was going to essentially say the same thing. One thing that God, you know, really just shown me and just really reminded me of is what Murphy just said, is that we need each other. We really do need each other. And I'm just so glad to finally be with people and to be around my family, my church family. If you have your Bibles this morning, and I'll try to do this in less than an hour. I mean, it's been a while since I've actually spoken with people. So my goal is to be out of here by at least 1 o'clock. So I'm just kidding. I have kids over here. My wife's like, Caleb, you have 10 minutes. Your timer is starting now. But we'll be quick, I promise. Go to Psalm 126. And the title of this message this morning is Moving Forward After a Crisis, or we can even say it like this. How can I have joy in the midst of a crisis? How can I have joy in the midst of a crisis? How can I have peace in the midst of a crisis? Psalm 126, verses 1 through 6 says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. And God, we just come before your throne right now, and we just commit these next few moments to you as we are able to study your word corporately. Father, we just ask and pray that you would teach us, Lord, that you would bless us, that you would, God, draw us closer to Jesus Christ. And Father, for those who are watching online right now, through their ask and pray that you would speak to them as well, and that they would feel your presence through their phone, through their tablet, through their computer, through their TV. God, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. So yes, this has been some of the craziest times that we've ever had. In talking with many of you the past several weeks, many of you have told me, Caleb, this has been the craziest time in my life. I have never, ever experienced anything like this. This has been insane for me. Look at our world. Look at all that's going on. And unfortunately, this is how life goes. I mean, many of you have experienced so many hard times in your life. You've experienced loss. You've experienced loss of loved ones, sickness, pain. You've experienced loss of jobs. You've experienced hard times in your life. And unfortunately, we will experience hard times in the future as well. We will experience unsure times in the future as well. Because Jesus tells us this in John 16:33. Jesus said, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace." He says, "In the world you will have tribulation." In other words, in the world you're going to have times of chaos. You're going to have times that are unsure. You're going to have times in your life of unrest. But Jesus says this, "In me you're going to have peace." He says, "Take heart. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world." So knowing that we are going to have times like this in our life, times that are unsure, times of tribulation, times of trial, let's ask and answer this question this morning. How can we move forward and have joy in the midst of a crisis, knowing that crisis will happen in our lives in the future? And you can write this down. How can we move forward and have joy in the midst of a crisis? Let's remember God's great work in the past. Let's look back in this psalm that we just read, Psalm 126. The psalmist is remembering how God has brought the children of Israel out of the Babylonian captivity. If you remember in the Old Testament, because of the Israelites' sin, God allowed the Babylonians to take the Israelites captive from their homeland. And you can go back and you can read about that in the books of Ezra and also Nehemiah. And in Psalm 126, what this psalmist is doing is he is talking about that return. As the Babylonians took the Israelites captive because of their sin, the psalmist is writing about that return. And you can go back in those books, in Ezra and Nehemiah, and you can read about those returns. But this psalmist, we don't know who he is or she is, we don't know who this psalmist is, but they are in need of something. And before he asks God to help him, before he asks God to restore his fortunes, he is remembering what God has done in the past for him, for the Israelites. Again, look at verses 1 through 3. He says, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion," Zion is just another word for joy with laughter, "and our tongue with shouts of joy, and they said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad.'" And again, this psalmist, he's remembering how God brought the children of Israel out of captivity. And notice that all of this is in the past tense. He's saying, it was like a dream. He says, we experienced laughter. We experienced shouts of joy. The surrounding nations were saying, "The Lord has done great things for them." He's saying, "The Lord has done great things for us." He's saying, "We are glad." He is remembering what God has done. And this is very common. You can go back and you can read all throughout the Old Testament. And all throughout the Old Testament, you see the saints remembering God's great work of the past. One great example of that is a story in Joshua 4. You can go back and you can read that. But the children of Israel, they're coming out of 40 years in the desert, and they're getting ready to cross the River Jordan, and they're getting ready to enter into the promised land. And they come before the River Jordan, and God, He parts the River Jordan, and they walk across the River Jordan on dry land. And as they get across the dry land, of course, the water comes back. And God says, set up 12 memorial stones. And he's saying this. He's saying, set up these stones so you will not forget what I have done for you. Set up these stones so you will not forget how I parted these waters for you, this river, and how you entered into the promised land on dry ground. He's saying, remember this. And if you go back and you read Joshua 4, verses 21 through 24, he says, this is why I want you to remember it. He says, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. So that here's why he says that I want you to remember, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. He's saying, remember. Remember what I have done for you. He's saying, teach these things to your children. Remember it so that the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is mighty. He's saying, don't forget what God has done in the past. King David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget who our God is and what he has done, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You see, all throughout the Old Testament, they are remembering what God has done. And whenever we come to times of crisis in our life, times of trial in our life, the very first thing that we should do is remember who our God is and remember what he has done in the past. One of our dear saints here, love this man so very, very much, Mr. Bob Waller. He serves as a deacon here. He also serves as an elder in this place. And Mr. Bob and Mrs. Donna have been attending Lake Center Baptist Church for nearly 30 years. Is that correct, Mr. Bob, Ms. Donna? Are you guys in here? Nearly 30 years. Is that correct? They've been around here for almost 30 years. And I'm often talking to Bob in our elders' meetings and also in our deacons' meetings. And we'll talk about some type of issue that we're facing, some type of, you know, Jordan River that we need to cross. And in our minds, we're thinking, man, there's no way that we can get past this. And I love it. Mr. Bob always says this. He says, guys, I've been around this place for 30 years, and God has never failed us. He's not going to stop now. He brings us to that point. He says, guys, let's remember who our God is and what he has done. He's led us this far. He's not going to stop. You see, if we want to experience joy in the midst of crisis, whether that's COVID-19, whether that's death, whether that's loss of job, we cannot forget who our God is and what our God has done in the past. And why? Why can we experience joy based on what God has done in the past? Here's why. Because his character does not change. Who our God has been in the past is who he will be in the future. As Austin said a few moments ago in his prayer, he is the same God. He does not change. Maybe today you're facing a crisis. If not today, unfortunately, because of what the Word of God says, you will tomorrow. Maybe it is some struggle with finances because of what's going on in our economy. Maybe it is the loss of a job. Maybe it is depression because of all that's been going on. Maybe it is stress. Maybe it is loneliness. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe you, like many of us, like most of the world, maybe you are just unsure of tomorrow. But while we are unsure of tomorrow, let's remember that our God is not unsure of tomorrow. He's held the past in his hand. He holds right now in his hand. And he holds tomorrow in his hand. And if we want to experience joy today and moving forward in the midst of trials and also in the midst of crisis, let's remember who our God is, who he has always been, and what he has done for us in the past. So just think about that for a moment in your own life. What has God done for you in the past? Well, if you're a believer today, he saved you from your sin. That's enough, right? He's provided for you. If you're sitting in this place today, that means he has provided for you. He's given you food to give you strength to even walk into this place. He has shown you love and he's shown you mercy. He's shown you forgiveness. Up to this point, he's kept you alive. He still has you here. That means he still has a purpose for you here. He's given you friends. He's given you a good family. And let's understand today, church family, that's who our God is. And he is, as he has provided for you up until this point, please understand that he's not going to stop. He loves you that much. As I desire as a dad to provide for my son that's asleep right now in the front row. And for my other son, I'm just kidding. Just kidding, buddy. You know I love you. But as I, as a dad, as an imperfect father, desire to provide for my sons and my daughter now and all into the future, our God is that times a billion, times a billion, times a billion, times infinity, times eternity. I don't know what that number is, but it's that much more. He's provided for you up until this point, and he's not going to stop. He's not going to stop. So how do we have joy in the midst of a crisis? Let's remember God's great work in our lives in the past. Who he has been yesterday is who he will be tomorrow. Let's not forget. Let's not forget who our God is. Let's not forget what our God has done for us in the past. He's not going to stop. He is good, as many of you have come over here and have said, and as many of you can testify today, he is good and he will always be good. How can we have joy in the midst of a crisis? Let's remember who our God has been in the past. Next, let's hope in God for the future. Hope in God for the future, because we don't know what the future holds. We don't. We don't know what the next 6 months hold, what the next year holds. We don't know. But listen, our God understands the future. He sees the future. Again, this psalmist is going through something, and we don't know what it is and what he does in verses 1 through 3. He remembers what his God has done in the past, and he's hoping in God for the future. You see, you may not understand what tomorrow holds for you, but you can take that concern, and you can give it to God. He has it in the palm of his hand. He has your future in the palm of his hand. He has your children's future in the palm of his hand. He has your parents' future in the palm of his hand. How can we hope in God for the future? You can write this down. By praying. By praying. Look at what this psalmist does. He remembers what God has done in the past, how God brought them out of captivity. He proclaims that God has done great things for us, and we are glad. And look at what he does in verse 4. He offers a prayer of sincerity to God. He says, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev." And this is a prayer to God. And the Negev is an area in the desert, some, I don't know how many miles it is, but it's south of Jerusalem. And during the summertime, it'll rain and vibrant streams fill up this area. Vibrant streams fill up the Negev. And what he is saying, the psalmist is saying here as he is praying to God, he is saying, God, restore me like you did in the past. Restore me, refresh me. He's saying, God, fill me with laughter again. Fill me with shouts of joy. God, do great things for me. You see, he is hoping in his future by praying to God. He's saying, God, restore our fortunes. Refresh us. He's asking God to do it again. God, do it again in my life. This past week, I read this story about a Puritan preacher, the name of Philip Henry. And the story reads like this. This English Puritan preacher, he had two children who were dangerously sick. And the story reads, after wrestling After a time of wrestling and prayer for them, he wrote in his diary, "If the Lord will be pleased to grant me my request this time concerning my children, I will not say as the beggars at our door used to do, I'll never ask anything of him again. But on the contrary, he shall hear oftener from me than ever. And I will love God the better and love prayer the better as long as I live." He's saying, "God, I'm not just going to come to you one time." He's saying, "No, I'm going to continue to come to you, and I'm going to continue to ask you to answer my prayers." You see, you can hope in God for the future by praying to him. You see, our God, he wants you to come to him in prayer. He wants you to pray to him. He wants you to take your hurts and your needs and your concerns and to lift those up to him in prayer. He wants you to put your hope in him, and he wants to answer your prayer in his perfect ways and also in his perfect timing. This morning, are you concerned about something? Maybe you are concerned about the economy. Maybe you're concerned about your finances. Don't worry about that. Just pray about it. Maybe you're concerned about your job situation. Don't worry about that. Pray about it. Maybe you are concerned about your health. Don't worry about it. Pray about it. Maybe you are stressed or depressed because of all that's going on. Pray about that and continue to pray about that. Maybe this pandemic has caused you to be lonely. There's been times these past several months that I have experienced loneliness. I really have. Pray about that. Maybe you're concerned about a loved one's salvation. Pray about that. Maybe you're concerned about your kids. Pray over them or your grandchildren. Pray over them and don't stop praying for them. Pray, God, restore our fortunes. God, let your will be done. God, let your kingdom come. God, refresh us. God, give me what I need. God, give me my daily bread. God, fill me with joy and laughter. How can we have joy in the midst of a crisis? Remember who our God is and what he has done, and hope in God for the future by praying to him and depending on him moment by moment with every single breath that we have. Next, and lastly, we can have joy in the midst of a crisis. Let me explain what I mean. Not physically sewing a piece of cloth, but I'll explain that. The psalmist says, "Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." And this word sowing, it is a farming term. It means sowing seed. What it means really is this. It means going to work. It means going to work. It means going and doing your part. I'll illustrate it like this. Illustration I read this past week about the evangelist Dwight Moody. It says, "The great evangelist was crossing the Atlantic when a fire broke out in the hold of a ship. The crew and some volunteers stood in line to pass buckets of water. A friend said to Mr. Moody, 'Mr. Moody, let us go to the other end of the ship and engage in prayer.' Moody said, 'Not so, sir. We stand right here and pass buckets and pray hard all the time.'" That's what it means. It means, yes, we pray, but at the same time, we sow. We pray and we sow. We pray and we do our part. We pray and we work. We can have joy in the midst of a crisis by praying to God and by sowing and going out and doing our part to change our situation. I don't know who said this, but you've heard it said like this. We pray like it all depends on God, but we work like it depends on you. This morning, are you concerned again about your finances and the economy? Well, we pray and then we take the appropriate action. Maybe we go and get counsel, or maybe we go and we find maybe something to do to help us earn some extra income. Are you concerned about your health? Well, we pray about that. We don't worry about that, but we do take the proper precautions to protect ourselves, or we do go and we talk to our doctor. That makes sense. You pray, then you sow, and you let God take care of the rest. You let God guide you as you are sowing. Are you stressed and depressed? Well, we pray about that. We give that over to God, but then we go for a walk and we get some vitamin D, or we pray and we go and we talk to somebody to ask them to help us. Maybe we go and talk to a counselor or something like that. Maybe you are lonely and in need of a friend. Well, we pray, God, provide a friend for me, but then we go and we try to make friends. You pray and you sow and you let God do the rest. Are you concerned about the world? Are you concerned about the economy? And maybe it's just got you down. Well, you pray for that and you quit watching the news, right? Take a break from it. Pray and turn off your TV and let God handle it. As so many of you have attested, as Miss Sandy attested, God is in control, right? Pray, turn off the TV and go for a walk, right? You pray and you sow. Are you concerned about a loved one's salvation? Pray for them. Fall on your knees for them and pray for them daily. But what else should we do? Go talk to them. Let God do the rest. Are you concerned about the COVID-19 pandemic? Pray. And go wash your hands. Take the proper precautions. We pray and we sow and we let God do the rest. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. How can we have joy in the midst of crisis today and also in the midst of crisis tomorrow that we know will come because the Word of God tells us that? We remember God's great work in the past. We hope in God for the future. We don't hope in the government. We don't hope in nothing else. We hope in our God alone. And we show that we are hoping in him for the future by depending on him in prayer and by sowing and doing our part. We can have joy in the midst of crisis. And in closing this morning, the greatest joy that you and I could ever have is by placing our trust fully and holy in Jesus Christ. Every single moment of our lives, but also by placing our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. That's how we can have joy in the midst of crisis. Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." We want to have ultimate joy on this earth. We place our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ for everything, for the forgiveness of our sin, and also for every single detail of our life. He's the bread of life. He is the living water. He provides every single thing that we need. And ultimately, we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for our sin. The Bible tells us this, that we've all sinned, that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And the only way that you and I can experience true and eternal and everlasting joy is by placing our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of our sin. Romans 5 tells us this, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Maybe you're in this place today and you've never done that. You've never placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of sin. The Bible says this, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from what? You're saved from the penalty of your sin. What that means is this, is that when you confess that Christ is Lord and you commit your life to him, he comes to live inside of you. The Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. He seals you with his Spirit. The penalty of your sin is forgiven. You become a child of God as he draws you to himself. And if you were to pass away from this earth, that you would one day go to be with him in the heavens. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Would you call on him right now if you've never done that? You can maybe pray a prayer like this to God. God, I understand that I have sinned and that my sin separates me from you. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I confess that he is Lord. I commit my life to follow him. God, draw me closer to you and use me for your glory. I follow you. I'll follow you, Jesus. Maybe you're in this place today and you just are in need of some joy. Jesus wants to give that to you. Remember, he's the bread of life. He is living water. He comes to give you life abundantly. And that's on this earth. I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about joy and hope and peace and mercy and forgiveness and life and community and a church family. That's what he'll give you right now in this moment. So maybe you are in need of joy this morning. Just remember God's great work in the past. Remember what he has done for you. Hope in God for the future. By praying to him and asking him to show you what he wants you to do. God, we love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for giving us joy. Thank you so much for being the same God that has never changed yesterday, today, or tomorrow. And God, we depend on you for the future. In all things, God, we depend on you. So hold us in the palm of your hands, Father, and use us for your kingdom and for your glory.